Welcome, everyone, to the West Print Sports Review here on Planet FM. West Print are the sponsors of the show. They are based at 9 Prairie Street in New Lynn. Their phone number is 09827 8531. Their email address is westprint.co.nz for all your printing needs. Please contact them. They're fantastic printers. They do a lot of displays. They do so much in the way of graphics, and they're good friends of mine. So tell them that Piggy told us to see them. So they'll be happy to hear that. God, I'm getting a bit stuttery. Anyway, wow, what a crap day it is today. It's miserable. I've had my first COVID vaccine injection, so I'll see how I go. I'm feeling a little bit tired, a little bit slow on it today, so no more than usual, as they all say. But we might as well rip into some of the Auckland Club rugby results down at Gribblehurst Park. Good win for our 21s, 39-10 over East Tamaki in a really good game. But our Premiers had a good win, 60-0 over Otahuhu. They gave us a bit of a fight in the first 20, but the good guys came through. But Waitemata had a 24-15 win over Manukau Rovers. AJ's Mob, Grammar Technical, 29, Maris 26. The referee must be a right footer. Papatoa 36, Pakuranga 19, a bit of an upset there. Ponsonby 28, College Rifles 20, Rifles first loss of the year. University 46 and Suburbs 28. And joining us, as he does every Monday, former All Black, AJ Whitten. Good afternoon, AJ. How are you going?
Yeah, no, good, Piggy. Always good to hear your dulcet tones. You are right, it is a crap day up here in Auckland. I may say it's good for the garden, but they're going a bit over the top of this. And, I don't notice any different, mate. You've had the jab. You still blubber on a bit, you know, get a bit lost. You're a bit disjointed. So, hey, no. It's always
great having you on. It's always great having you on, AJ. You know, constructive criticism. Yeah. I stumble about. Yeah, well, I tell you something. We've got our two finalists in Super Rugby Trans-Tasman, so we might as well rip into it. The first game, really a nothing game. Hurricanes 43, the Reds 14. Nani Laulapi, I'm going to really get more, and Geordie Barrett were absolutely brilliant, weren't they?
Yeah, well, it was the last match for Laulapi, and he started like a bullet train, didn't he? Straight through the gates. We thought it was just going to be his day. But look, no, he nice way to finish. Nothing game, as you said. I thought, Jody Barrett had to have a better performance from his last outing, of course. I like that West Goose, and I think he's off. They're going to miss a couple of his players in that back line, mate. They've been the backbone of the Canes for a few years, but look, they send him off in style. Again, Artie Sevier will be waiting on his injury, gives it 100%, and he got a bit of a knock there, so that's a bit of wait and see, so that'll be a bit anxious for the selectors. Cariffy, again, a menace, and I must admit that Amua, when he gets the ball in hand, he's just the Sherman tank, isn't he?
So, he's a beast, mate.
Not a bad game to finish on. They all can be happy and have a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, well, of course, a big result later on that night was the Highlanders 33, the Brumbies 12. Aaron Smith, double, really led well around the field by Ash Dixon. I have to say, the Highlanders really, you know, at the start of the campaign, they lost Tony Brown, who's involved with Japan with their match against the British and Irish Lions. But Clark Dermody, he stepped up to the mark, and he's led them to a final.
Yeah, and look, I think we don't give enough credit to the Southern men because it's usually about the Red and Blacks, the Crusaders.
Yeah.
But look, you've got to be impressed with the way they've performed, really consistent. And I guess some would say that that's why Aaron Smith, one of the leading halfbacks in the world, mucked up the week before by not getting that bonus, but they certainly cemented it this week. Ash Dixon, another leader. I like their front row with Pogolahi and De Groot. I think he's come on. Perry Parkinson had a few runs with the ball, but I must admit their loose forward trio have been very eye-opening from my point of view. I thought Roy Renton came on.
Yep.
Haven't really seen a lot on this year, Piggy. But this boy from Japan, Himeno and Harmon, are forming a nice little combination. And you say with Smith Hunt out there, and you've got Tomkinson running hard with Nariki and Ione, they just look a very confident and competent side. So watch out for this weekend. It's not a a slam dunk from my point of view.
No, I don't think it is either. Well, the Crusaders were trying to do the impossible. They had a 52-26 win over the Rebels, highlighted by Sevu Reece's hat-trick. But really, for the Crusaders, and that's something Razor Robinson would probably be regretting, has been the points they've actually leaked un-Crusaders-like.
Yeah, look, you've summed it up. I mean, if you get 26 points against the Crusaders, you think you might be in there with a shout. But obviously, we know the Rebels, they played with a bit of freedom. I mean, they've got quite an exciting little back line there. You've got Karabidi, Lamani, there's Vaiahu. I mean, and that Gordon at first five, I thought they all played pretty well with the ball they got. And this Powell, he's a sneaky little halfback.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to have a run, and he put them in all sorts of pressure around the side of the scrum. But you're dead right. They were chasing a big score. I had a bet with a mate of mine. I thought the Crusaders, if any team was going to do it, they'd get up. And really, they shot themselves in the foot, not only with their leaky defence, possibly we could say, Piggy, they started to throw it around, you're going to find a few holes.
Yeah.
But just a bit of discipline in securing it, holding on to the ball. Two or three tries disallowed over the line? That proved really costly. Not quite enough to get there. Nice to see someone in the final who's different. But I tell you what, there's one, two guys in that Crusaders team will go close to the Saw Black side, and that'll be Blackadder again. Another good performance from him, and that boy Jordan. Boy, once he's got some space, he's a bloody bullet, isn't he?
And of course, David Harvey's playing well. I think he may. I've got a feeling he'll be partnering Anton Leonard-Brown in the first All Blacks test against Tonga. Yeah. But anyway, we'll also move on. Of course, the Blues, well, they've done it. They've finally made a final. It's taken so long. And I can tell you something, AJ. This is the challenge I have for all Aucklanders, is to get to the park this Saturday, because this is going to be a really good final. Now, they had a 31-21 win over the Force. The Force have actually been big improvers in this competition, and where they are in the table doesn't really represent how well they've actually played. Really impressed with Dalton Papalihi, our loose forward trio. Papalihi, Hoskins Satutu had a hell of a game, but this young kid at the back, Zane Sullivan, I think he's a real good one, AJ.
You know, I think you did right. Let's see, the Aucklanders have been crying out for a long time. The team's playing well, I suggest. If they play like they did in the second half, they'll find themselves in trouble. I mean, they must have just put off the light switch, 28-0 or 28-7 and let them back into the game. So that consistency, that continuity, they've got to continue. But, yeah, look, Zane Sullivan. Look, I think we've solved our fullback problems by the look of it. I'm really impressed with our outsides and Heem and Talia. I mean, really, two guys that seem to be playing good rugby week in, week out, and taking their opportunities. I like the boy Christie. Yep. Loose forwards. Yep. I hope the boy Robinson's okay. But look, solid front row and tight five. Bit more talented than the score suggests. Didn't quite deliver it in its entirety. And you've got to give a bit of credit to the Western Force, as you said. They never gave up. I like this Goodwin in the midfield. I think he's pretty good value. And, of course, you've got a couple of Kiwis and Thrush and Kahui. They're always a menace, and they would have enjoyed the encounter. But, look, the Blues, they're in the final, Peggy. It's all there waiting for them. Got to make sure they step up and take the opportunity.
And, of course, the Chiefs finished off their season with a 40-7 win over the hapless Waratahs, highlighted by Sean Wainui, five tries. Sean Wainui has been really one of the more underrated players within Super Rugby in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Look, five tries, anyone to score five tries in a match, you take your head off. But the space he had to score them, I mean, you know, I guess we call them the woeful Waratahs. What's that, 13 in a row? And now we know why. Really, they've got to do something next year. I don't know, where they go buy a team from offshore, I'm not sure. But, boy, they've really got to step up to the mark. That's not the Waratahs we used to know about. I mean, I've got my nephew playing and Jackie. I mean, he was pretty, you know, consistent. But, look, they've all got to put their hand up. Swinton, I like his play. He's rugged, robust, but a bit of ill discipline. You can't afford that. So, you know, just lost his nut there for a while. But, look, platform laid up by the, you know, up front there with the forwards. And I guess, you know, we're blessed with back rowers at the moment, aren't we, Peggy?
Oh, mate, yeah.
Jacobson, Suakalu. I mean, they're just so dominant and big and fast out there at the moment, and you backed it up with our tight forwards. I mean, this, you know, Vah is a good player around there. They just don't seem to be able to match it with speed and go, oh, do they, the Aussies, and 40 points to 7. Yeah, another whopping for the Tars.
It certainly is, and of course, so that end of the season. Well, AJ, well, you'll be there this Saturday night, and I'll be, well, I'm in a bit of a quandary because I've also been invited to a function around the same time, so I'm just tossing and turning which one do I go to, the rugby or the function. So at the moment it's 50-50. I know that I'll get a bit of jip from you if I don't turn up. So let's see if people in Auckland can pack the park. If Rod Stewart can rock the docks, I'm sure that we can pack the park for our first final since 2003.
Yep, no, look, it's an opportune time. Let's hope the weather plays a part. Get the young kids along, they'll do some deals. But, you know, fill it out there. We don't get it very often, Aucklanders. We moan and groan. So, step up to the plate. Let's go along. Bring your friends. Bring your granddad, grandma. Look, even bring the girlfriend, boyfriend. I don't care. I'll be there. I'll be having a couple of Shrewsbury's. Don't you worry about that, Piggy. And I'll be making a bit of noise.
I'll be probably trying to visit you probably after the game with a couple of my mates, and I'll tell them about the behaviour at the Barbarians Club, which a lot of people at the Barbarians will be pleased to see me. I tend to liven up the place when I turn up there occasionally.
You're most welcome, but we've got a height restriction now. You've got to be over 5'6", and let's hope you just get under there, but you mightn't make it. But anyway, if you get in, I'll buy you around.
Very good, AJ. Are you picking the Blues on Saturday or the Highlanders?
Well, of course you would, but I tell you, she's going to be close. She's going to be a good game, good advertisement for rugby. So let's hope that the Blues, Auckland, it is. Bring home the bacon.
That'd
be great.
Well, bring home the bacon with the old pickster. Yep. Sounds good, mate. You have a good rest of the week and we'll chat next Monday, mate. Catch you later. That was AJ Whedon. It was always good to have a chat to AJ. So next up, we'll speak a bit of NRL, our Warriors, State of Origin, and with Bluey McLennan. So just play a bit of music.
Yes.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. It's the West Brent Sports Review. Oh well, we've had a weekend of NRL and not good if you're a Warriors supporter. It wasn't the best game to see, but there was also some State of Origin midweek. So, well, let's have a chat as we always do to former Kiwis coach, former Leeds Rhinos, former New Zealand Warriors coach, Blue McLennan. G'day, Bluey. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Well, we might as well kick off with State of Origin. I'm going to be straight to the point. The Blues 50, the New South Wales 50, Queensland 6. I am picking that the Blues are going to win the series 3-0. I just think they're just too good, Bluey.
Yeah, there's too much strike in them. With Latrell Mitchell just being an absolute beast, and Tommy Turbo, Djibojevic, having that ability to roam, it's it's too hard. And Nathan Cleary was very, very good as well. And so they just look like they've got too much strike. And they, you know, and Freddie's doing a good, really good job with them. I thought Paul Green, as a coach, he would be kicking himself. I thought he was poor. Just his general talk, he was fairly negative even before the game. Like Batty Borton interviewed him, and it was like even he was trying to get something positive out of him. So there's a lot to learn for Paul Green. He's a premiership winning coach. Queensland they look like they've got too much to do for mine.
Yeah, when you have a look at that back line, you know, you have Tavisco at fullback. You have that centres of Tommy Turbo, Luttrell. You've got the Brian Toho. And okay, where are you going to find backs like that in the world of rugby league? This is why I just think this New South Wales side is just too good at the moment. There's a bit of talk around, Bluey, that they may be looking at Rhys Walsh. I think it's too early for him to play State of Origin. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I think it's too early, especially from the defensive part of the game. And, you know, like, there's no doubt the talent of Rhys Walsh. He's extremely talented, and you saw on the weekend that the Warriors missed his strike offensively. Mm. I think, especially against that compressed Melbourne defence, but the defensive requirements that are needed, I think is too much for the young guy. But no doubt, after a period of time, that's the arena that Rhys Walsh is heading for.
Certainly is, and well, we might as well get on to it. I said we'll try and find something positive to speak about with the NRL weekend, which there is a lot, but this will be the negative part of it. But negative if you're a Warriors supporter, positive if you're a Storm supporter. Storm absolutely dominated us. Brendan Smith, Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, they were just too good, Bluey.
Well, yeah, they were, and throwing Cameron Munster, that's one hell of a spine, Nico Hines.
That's the guy we said the Warriors should get too.
Yeah, but look, the Storm do that to clubs, and you know the Storm are flying along. And I thought, you know, the Warriors had their chances at the start because the Storm didn't get off too well, and the Warriors had their chance and just didn't, you know, to apply some pressure and just didn't. Their passing game was quite off. Their execution was actually off, and given that. The Storm played a really compressed style of defence. You need to move them around a bit, and because the Warriors passing, even from Wade Egan, who's a very good passer, like there was, you know, they were just off the Warriors. So look, yeah, it's every team that plays the Storm are probably going to come off second best pretty much. So it's not dire straits for the Warriors. It is a smack in the bum, but. You know, I'm sure that they can turn around and bounce back fairly quickly.
Certainly can, but they'll be doing without Kim Mamalo, which I don't want to criticise the Warriors, but I think the handling of this has been really unprofessional. You know, like I think what the Warriors as a franchise usually show a lot of professionalism, but this has been handled so badly.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. I mean, there are mid-season transfers that happen. Like Ken does have defensive deficiencies and reading when to jam and to follow a centre. I think that's been the issue for the Warriors.
Okay.
It's difficult and it makes it even more difficult when you see, you know, how emotional Ken was at the end of the game. And you know, he's a homebred boy, it's just the way footy goes these days, especially with the salary cap, and everyone's trying to keep you know players under the cap, and they've got to make some hard choices. And unfortunately for Ken Mamalo, this is what's happened to him.
Yep, I suppose it is. Well, Manly at 50, the Cowboys 18, Daly Cherry Evans and Kieran Foran just. brought us back to yesteryear with the way they played. The Sharks 19 beat the Panthers 18. Sean Johnson got a field goal. Now, you saw the interview afterwards where he basically shopped himself on the market.
Yeah, he's looking for a club, Sean, and you know, and he's got some really good value, and there's, you know, his price has come down in the last couple of years, so which makes him even more valuable because he's got good experience.
Yeah,
you know, and this is where I feel for a club like Penrith. You know, the state of origin period. Mm. You know, the clubs that produce all the best players get punished during this. You know, they've lost two in a row now, and they were flying along. So, I feel for Penrith there. With Sean, he'll pick up something, no doubt. A club will be able to get him because there's a lot of pluses around Sean, and sure that in the right environment he could do really well for a club.
Yeah, well, we've spoke privately off here. We'd like to see him go too. So the offers are out there. I believe it will be a Sydney club that will get him, Bluey. The Roosters Titans, this was a hell of a game, wasn't it? 35-34. Sam Walker got a field goal, but there also was some lowlights in it. Kevin Proctor shot on Joey Manu. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was a really weird game, and players when they were Simbin and just teams being down at 12, you really saw the momentum shift, and I thought, looking at the positives of the game, JWH, leading the team, getting the 2 points for the Roosters, because, you need to finish in the top four if you want to be a serious challenger to win the winner grand final. And, I thought the big Kiwi boy, and he's the alpha male of the pack, I thought his performance was outstanding. Two try saves, Piggy, in that first half. Just really good. And he makes all the younger players in the team feel safe. That's the Sam Walker, Suwali, knowing that they've got the big dog out there with them. I thought it was, a great captain's knock.
It was, and I tell you what, he is one of the toughest guys in rugby league. Rabbitohs 24, Knights 10. Alex Johnson hat-trick. Really, he's a fantastic player. Raiders 38, Broncos 16. The Raiders seem to be making a little bit of a comeback. They looked really good. Whiten looked good, but I was really impressed with Bailey Surinen at fullback for them.
Yeah, that's his preferred position, Bailey, Kiwi boy. So, he's big. I like big fullbacks. That's why I really love seeing Tom Trbojevic, Latrell Mitchell. They're big and they stop tries. They can create them. But Bailey did really well. I know they're going to let Hodgson go, but for me, they're a better team when Hodgson's there. And they're starting him now. And I just think he's got the smarts. And they're actually missing the jump with him. Like, I know there's been criticism of him running and controlling the game too much around the ruck. But in today's game where it quickens up, that's where you want to go. Once you get some momentum, and with Josh Papali back, he's going to bend the line for you. You jump off the back of Josh Hodgson. And I just want to give a plug for ISS Oliola. The old campaign, I thought he was really good for the Raiders on the weekend as well.
Certainly was, and I have to say that the Raiders are making a bit of a comeback. Well, the Eels, 40 points to 4 over the Tigers. There was a bit of a spat between Mitchell Moses and Clint Gufferson, but I'm going to mention a name which we spoke about last week when we were naming our Kiwi side, Isaiah Papali'i. This guy's just on fire at the moment.
I was a little bit critical of Isaiah, over the last couple of years when he was at the Warriors. And I loved his attitude. He deserved to go with the Kiwi Tour. I can see that he's a very dedicated young man. But I just didn't think he had the skill set. And what's amazed me is how quickly he's developed his skill set at Parramatta. So did he always have that, or was he not encouraged to do that at the Warriors? That's the question. Or are they doing a different style of training at Parramatta where they develop those little skill sets? Because he's improved dramatically in terms of the skill level of pass options, offload. You know, I'm amazed by how much he's improved. And, you know, good luck to the young man. He's very dedicated, as I said before, and now he's just adding layers to his game and becoming very valuable. He'll definitely be in that Kiwi team at the end of the year.
Oh, he certainly will, and I'll tell you something. Bluey, he's having a wonderful season. Wow, Bluey, it's been great chatting to you again. I hope that the rest of the week is all good, and we'll catch up next week, and hopefully we'll have a Warriors win over the Knights.
Yep, good as gold. Okay, mate, we'll take care, eh?
Yep, we certainly will. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bluey McLennan, real good bloke, and really knows his rugby league. Next up, we have a new person in our football. His name is Alan McElroy, comedian, funny guy, but and a know-it-all on everything. So he told me that he knows it all on football, so I'm going to give him a call just to see if he actually answers. So play a bit of music. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Well, Euro 2020 has kicked off and there's been some exciting games, and of course there was a few horror scenes with Christian Eriksen. I think all sporting, the football community in New Zealand and all sporting communities around the world wish Christian Eriksen all the best in his recovery, and full credit, using the old Kiwi word, full credit to that Denmark team playing that game. It took a lot of guts to do that. Well, we have a new football correspondent. He's a well-known comedian. He's got a show at the moment which is playing at the Comedy Club in Queen Street called Booze and Crack. Now, crack is C-R-A-I-C, and that is the Irish word for humour. He is a guy, you've seen him on ads, on the warehouse ads, and he is one of the real funny blokes with a football opinion. Please welcome to the show, Alan McElroy. Alan, how are you, mate?
I'm good, how are you?
Well, as you know, I think I was telling you, I just had the first jab and the first shot, so it's probably, you know.
Yeah, you're starting to transform, you're starting to go full pig. I heard you stutter at the start of the show, so that's the effects of that. It's the first jab isn't too bad. It's the second jab that's going to change it fully.
Jeez, I hope. Well, what will it make me taller and slimmer? And
No, it might make you smaller and fatter.
Well, I'm already there at the moment, as you already know, Al.
There's a bit of room to go. There's a bit of room. I know. Well done. Congratulations getting it. At least you qualified. I don't think I'll get one.
Well, I thought...
You're too healthy.
You're not healthy at all. You eat chicken wings, you drink booze, you know. Anyway, we might as well get on to the Euros. Yeah, it's already kicked off. Italy looked pretty good against Turkey, 3-0. Wales had a 1-1 draw against the Swiss. That was a boring game, of course.
We watched that live as well. That was a tough one to sit through because the Welsh fans don't really have a good song to sing, you know. Most of the teams will sing a song, but the Welsh fans, which were two in the pub, were just going, Wales, Wales, for like the whole game. So that made it even worse. So I hope they don't get far, to be honest, because of that.
I tell you what, there's a few. Well, you know where I have a few beverages on a Monday. Well, there is a very well-known Welshman. I will be bad for your blood, and of course, that.
Well, he could, and do you know what? He didn't make it, and do you know why? Because he fell asleep. And that's a fact. So I turned up to that pub looking for him, and he was asleep. Yesterday he was trying to get me out all day because he was full of energy because he had 12 hours sleep for the first time in his life.
Well, you don't sleep, that's it. You don't sleep.
I know, I don't have time, man.
Yeah, no, you're on Radio New Zealand, you're on Warehouse ads, you're on just about everything in the national.
The Warehouse ad isn't live. But the game, the Welsh game, the Wales were kind of lucky for that. I always love watching Italy, even though they're quite a defensive nation, usually, historically. But it was great to see them win by more than one goal.
It was, actually. And, of course, Finland won Denmark nil, and really felt, you know, really that game should have been, you would sort of wish it was a 1-1 draw just for the Denmark after, you know, took a lot of balls to go out there after what they did.
I wouldn't have been able to play after seeing, you know, like, the staff were great. They saved his life pretty quick. It was like Mwamba, when that happened to him, I think his heart was stopped for, like, 70 minutes or something. So,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about 78 minutes, I think it was. So hopefully he recovers well and can continue to play, because obviously Mwamba retired pretty soon after that.
Yeah, they're saying it's not looking too good, but I tell you what, you know, like, I know that probably Christian Eriksen wouldn't have been your favourite person because he single-handedly tore apart the Republic of Ireland a few years ago in the World Cup qualifier.
He did, but I wouldn't wish a heart attack on him.
No, but he's
a good player. I've always liked him when I've seen him play for Spurs, and even when he wasn't getting his game early on in his career. But yeah, obviously when a player scores against your own country, it's hard to support him. Like Thierry Henry, he'll never live it down.
Oh, he'll never live it down. He'll never be invited to several Irish pubs.
No.
Anyway, Belgium looked pretty good over Russia. Lukaku looked fantastic.
Savage, isn't he? Yeah, he's great. And obviously he's up there for the Golden Boot and will be. We haven't seen France yet, or Portugal even. But yeah, they've always been, they kind of bottle it at some stage, but hopefully they can do it. They've got some of the best players in the world, so I always enjoy watching Belgium. Flemish.
Yeah, they are pretty good. And of course, when you can put Eden Hazard on the bench and bring him on, that means you've got a lot of depth. And of course, it's coming home. England had a 1-0 win over Croatia.
Exciting, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The Daily Mail is saying it's ours to lose.
Every single tournament, it's coming home. Singing it up and down Queen Street. It's not going home. They weren't that great, and it was funny. I spent the last week earning my Croatia, Czech Republic, and Scotland jerseys. I'm up for any team but England for obvious reasons. But the fans, and here's the thing with the fans, Jesus, the fans. Remember a few years ago when Sweden bet them or knocked them out or something, and the fans went in and smashed up an IKEA in protest. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Went in, right? So, and then when you compare that to the Irish fans, obviously we don't have good players at the minute to be in the tournament. But when Sweden bet Ireland, all the Irish fans stood there singing to the Swedish fans, go home to your sexy wives, go home. It's just a different class of people altogether. So I'll be avoiding certain pubs where all those fans go to watch their team, and I'll stick to our pub where we go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have a word to you later on that. But anyway, of course, Austria 3 versus North Macedonia. I didn't even know it was country nil. But
There's all these new countries popping up. The Welsh game is in Azerbaijan. I didn't know where that was.
Yeah, well, Azerbaijan, I thought it was something for you, food poisoning or something.
And then my mate, a Scottish friend, was sitting there and he said, Should are in the Eurovision, but so was Australia in the Eurovision. So I don't understand the the borders anymore. But yeah, sorry, Albania, was it Albania? Austria. Sorry, Austria. Who was it? I don't even know. Austria. Yeah, that I didn't see that game. I'll be honest, it wasn't one I was looking out for.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, this morning's game was a cracker, wasn't it? Netherlands 3, yeah. UK.
What about time? Like, it's obviously, yeah, it's two attacking teams, so it was great to watch. I had to watch it twice. I couldn't get up and watch it live, so I tried to find it on YouTube. Have you tried to watch your highlights game on YouTube?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's shocking because there's two kids playing FIFA, and they upload that as if it's the game.
I know the basic rights of us people trying not to play for Sky TV to watch Euro 2020. No, I've actually got Sky and I was watching the first half of it. I thought, geez, the Dutch looked quite good, but geez, it was a hell of a game. But tell you what, and of course the team we're going to be supporting, Stars Seed Campaign tomorrow. Come on, Scotland against the Czech Republic.
Yeah, it's tonight, isn't it? About 1 a.m. Yeah.
Well, you'll be up watching that, won't you?
Oh, I will be. I have to write all day on a Tuesday, so because we stayed up to watch the Welsh game and we didn't get home until 6 in the morning. So I don't really want to run the risk of that tonight when I have a lot of work to do tomorrow. But I'll have to go. I promised my Scottish mate. Like you said, we did the Scottish and Irish show at the Classic. And it's coming back again in a few weeks. So I'll be out supporting Scotland, of course. And hopefully they do well.
There's a few highlighted games, but the game I'm picking is going to be on Wednesday, France versus Germany.
That's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. There's a couple of games like Poland versus Slovakia. Portugal will get their first look, and that's who I'm picking to win the tournament over Hungary.
Do you know what? I'm not 12 anymore. I don't sit down and go through the whole chart map and go, this team beats the team, and then they go second.
What are you trying to say?
I had a quick look at it, and Portugal, because Ronaldo, I don't like him, but he always has a point to prove, and he proves it every single time. And I think he's like 7-1 to be top scorer. They can go quite far. They finished third in the group. I think they go up against possibly Belgium or someone from that group. If they finished second, they'll go up against, I think, England maybe, if England win their group. And if they can go, I reckon they can go far. They got great players.
Oh yeah, and you have a look at it. There's not only what was he got? Diaz at the back. You've got Fernandez. They've got a brilliant team at the moment, Al. And of course,
As well up front. Playing amazing for Liverpool.
Yeah, and of course, then we've got a few games. And of course, there's a big one on Saturday. England versus Scotland, and I'm looking forward to this. There's going to be a few bars shown that round. I know that there's a bar in my area in Sandringham that will be open for it, and so I might be going down there. I might catch up with you at a place in the city where we frequent, Al.
Yeah, well, that's it. We've made our plan already to go and watch that game, and it definitely will be downstairs in the dungeon, as you know it. You know, where when it was 24 hours, you never even knew what day it was. Seven in the morning is that game.
You're not allowed to have a beer till 8 o'clock, so you just have to.
Legally, you're not allowed to have a beer until 8 o'clock.
Well, that's the rules.
I know the law. You're telling me the law. I'm not talking about the law. I'm talking about human nature. If you're up watching football, you'll have something somewhere. You know what I mean? I'm just going outside for a few minutes. I'm not encouraging it, but you can't stop people. Nah, it'll be good fun.
When
Scotland qualified, I watched it in that bar. I went to watch Ireland lose a boring game. I think England did something. Northern Ireland were playing, but all the Scottish lads were down the back singing and chanting. And they have better songs than the Welsh fans, and it sounded like a lot of fun. And that is the bandwagon I want to jump on.
And I tell you what, it'll be the only time they'll ever shout a drunk as well, too.
They won't, I'm telling you, they won't. I've been touring around with one for the last few months.
He's got gorse in his pocket.
It's still coming out, man. I'm like, come on, give me a drink. You pay for this. He owes me a fortune.
Oh, goodness. Well, Al, I have to say your debut has been spectacular.
Woody, thanks a lot.
And, of course, we'll do this next week, and we might be celebrating a Scotland victory over England.
Yeah, we might be still celebrating by the time we're on the radio.
Well, yeah, well, I've got work, you know, I've got serious commitments, but, you know, if you can. Anyway, Al, well, you have a good rest of the week, and the show's still running at the Comedy Club, is it?
It's back. Sold out two nights, so it's back in July when they can get us back on. And other than that, I'm just gigging all over the place. It's on my Facebook page and Instagram, if anybody is interested.
Yep, so that's Alan McAvoy. McAvoy, not McAvoy. I heard you get very grumpy at someone at the...
They say my name wrong. But it's, you know, it happens. You know, not everyone can speak. That's it.
Okay, well, on that note, I'll leave you to it.
All right, buddy.
Al, it's been entertaining. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man. See you soon.
See you, bye. Well, that was the debut of Alan McAvoy. I think a lot of you would have a bit of a laugh about that. He's a very, very funny man. I'll play a bit of music. I'll get the panel on next. Everyone, back to the Sports Review here, Whispering Sports Review, and of course we come to the good part of the show, the entertaining, the knowledgeable part of the show. I'd like to welcome, first of all, the man, the legend, the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson. How are you this afternoon, Mark?
Well, any time I'm good with that sort of introduction. My wife needs to spend a bit of time around you.
Okay, mate. I'd definitely leave the keys in my car and not in a barrel there, Mark. Well, sure, come on, get in trouble with that.
I was just saying, you could upskill her on the way she needs to address me.
Oh, everyone should address you. You're a legend, Mark. You're an absolute legend. Anyway, I shouldn't have made that faux pas. I might get in trouble over that. Mr. the Silver-Tongued Silver Fox, back from Invercargill with no bluff oysters.
No, but I tell you what, I'm away for a week and I have to pull you two out of the gutter. My God. Or is it just you, Eamon, trying to lead... What's an astray?
Well, you know, we bonded while you were away in Invercargill enjoying yourself. You know, how can you enjoy yourself in Invercargill?
I mean, admittedly, the IQ dropped somewhat, but
yeah, that was nice. Anyway.
Mate, I tell you what, it was good for the soul. 3 days in the south, mate. It was beautiful weather, some horizontal rain, but beautiful weather. And great spending time, the centenary of the Mighty Marist. It was fantastic.
Sounds great. And, of course, Eden Rugby Club's got their centenary at Queen's Birthday next year, so that should be a good bit of fun. Anyway, boys, we'll rip into it right now. Let's start off a bit of cricket. Is the World Test Championship coming home to New Zealand? Your thoughts? The Black Caps had a win over England. They were less five of their... assumed top starters. What's some of your thoughts on this, guys?
Yeah, look. I think New Zealand now, having had two tests under their belt, I think they do have the upper hand, more for the fact that I think India always struggled in conditions outside of India, like most test nations do. I think this has been a real revelation for this New Zealand side. However, India did demonstrate in Australia last year that they have built a squad that relies a lot more on pace bowling than just spin, and they demonstrated that, hey, maybe they have taken that step in terms of being able to win and play well away from home. Look, I'm always a little bit suspicious of the influence India has, I guess, on world cricket, and so it really just comes down, I guess, what those pitch conditions are like. If they're good, true, traditional English wickets, I think New Zealand have got a very, very good chance. I think their biggest issue is who do they leave out, which is, you know, seriously, for the first time in probably ever in New Zealand cricket, we're actually in a position, test cricket, where we actually almost have too much depth, particularly when it comes to the bowlers. And look, you know, I was incredibly harsh on New Zealand for a long time when I was on the radio, but I genuinely felt they deserved everything they got. You know, I felt they were always just a bunch of prima donnas who've always had this ability but maybe lack some application. But, you know, well done to them. They have turned it around, firstly under McCullum, clearly under, you know, Kane Williamson as well. So, yeah, look, I am a really, really good shot. And I'll also argue that perhaps one of the best things that did happen for New Zealand cricket was the fact the IPL was called off.
Sean.
Yeah, oh, look, I'm with you, mate. India have got plenty of influence, but can they change the weather in Southampton? You'd have to say it's definitely... our seamers that are going to benefit from it. But, mate, yeah, I think you're dead on, mate. I'm just so stoked. And you'd have to say, in theory, I've seen some stuff written that, you know, India, they're the batting team, New Zealand's the bowling team, but Devin Conway, goodness me, he makes everything exciting.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you've, you know, another South African in the team. And they've just got, it's just hard edge about South Africans and the hard edge about South African cricketers, and we seem to be benefiting too with Wagner, who, you know, just how good is this guy, you know? When we need him, Wagner steps up. You know, every test match, that guy is going to make a big difference at key moments, and what a class act as well.
Hey, and the fact is, guys, we're here. It wasn't so long ago that we didn't want to talk about our hopes in the test. It was, we were... You know, it was surprised we're worthy to be there at Boxing Day. You know what I'm saying? I think that there is a renaissance. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of the ball, but I actually think this is a pretty damn special time.
Yeah, look, I didn't think that we really deserved to be there. But now that we have beaten England, and I've seen what I've seen, you know what, and what we have seen at home, yeah, look, I think we, you know, at the right time.
Yep, have to agree with you there. So I have to say there has been a real, probably an attitude change over the last 10 years and a culture change within that Black Cap side, which you know, I'm putting them to win it because I think the English conditions for swing bowling will suit us. Anyway, Marty Drysdale, what a legend. He's retired last week. as far as I'm concerned, he ranks up as one of our top Olympians, Mark, along with Peter Snell, Daniel Oder, John Walker, Lisa Carrington, Val Adams, Ian Ferguson. I could name them all.
Barbara Kendall. Look, without doubt, sometimes, you know, you need 10 years to sort of stand back to and appreciate an athlete's place in history, not with Drysdale. You know, look, you know, he was unlucky not to win a gold medal at the Beijing Olympics in 2008, which was only through illness. And then, you know, he picked up a bronze and then he goes on, wins gold in 2000 and, 2012, 2016. There's only a few athletes that have won actual gold medals at back-to-back Olympic Games, Peter Snell being one of them. Mark Todd, in terms of individual sports, you know, in an individual boat or an individual athlete, you know, Mark Todd. You know, Ian Ferguson, Paul McDonald clearly in a team, Swindell girls clearly in a team. You have, you know, they are few and far between. Throw the five world championships in there. And what I like about it, the single sculls, it is, you know, we often talk about the eights being the blue ribbon event, but in the single sculls, you're not relying on anybody else. You know, if you're having a bad day, it's there for everybody to see. I like the fact that, too, you know, you don't get to lean on anybody else to reassure you. It's just you. It is just a grueling, grueling sport. I mean, there is, you know, it's one of the hardest sports on the planet, both physically and mentally, day in, day out. It's a completely amateur-based sport. And, you know, you sort of sense with Mahe Drysdale, a little bit like a good friend of mine, Cameron Brown, you know, if he could go forever, he would, because he has that passion. But, you know, sort of Father Time's caught up with him a little bit, unfortunately. But, look, Drysdale certainly goes down amongst the very, very best in New Zealand sport, without a doubt. And, yeah, certainly right up there with Loder, certainly right up there with Lisa Carrington and Peter Snell.
Oh, hear, hear. And a thoroughly decent bloke. I know, I'm sure you found the same, Mark, every time you dealt with him. You know, success never changed him, and that's not often the way. And I mean, you're hearing these guys talk, you know, how hard is it rowing over the last, you know, 200 or 300 metres when the tank's empty? And I think he was one of these guys who said, no, the tank's empty almost after a K, you know. they way back, you know, it's quite what they do, that battle over their mind is... it's just incredible. And you're right, there's no one there to G them on. They're out there on the water. It must be a bloody lonely place.
Well, I always remember talking to kayaker Ben Thuy, and I said, Ben, what's it like? And this is kayaking, which is similar to a point. Slightly different muscle group, but same, you know, the same level of lactic build-up, different part of the body. You need to mark the last 250 metres, my eyeballs basically disappear into the back of my brain. I get, you know, to the point where I almost black out. And so, you know, to be able to lock yourself that level of hurt, both physically and mentally, well, you know, what I think scales race lasts about 7 minutes, so certainly the last 3 minutes, you're probably, you know, well and truly locked in a torture chamber, aren't you? So, yeah. Incredible mental fortitude.
It certainly does, and of course New Zealand's record at the single sculls in the Olympics, this is just a boring interesting fact, we've won 3 gold medals, 2 of them to Marty Drysdale, the other one was Rob Waddell. We've won 3 bronze medals, Mahe in 2008, Eric Fedonk in 1988, and the first ever medalist for New Zealand was a chap called Darcy Hadfield in 1920 in Antwerp, at the Antwerp Olympics.
We've also won a bronze medal in the 100 metres.
Yeah, that was a 24. That was Arthur Porritt.
On the track, Arthur Porritt, yeah. So just letting people know, if you think of the 100 metres, you think of Bolt, you think of all the greats, we've won a bronze medal in it.
I don't think the chances of winning us a bronze medal are very, very slim at this stage, Mark, with the way. And plus, you'd probably need all sorts of covert vaccines to help them along. Anyway, Sean, what's been happening in the motorsport world?
Mate, I'm just gutted. I like to pride myself on trivia, and you guys just left me for dead. I couldn't even think of a single thing. Oh, actually, hang on. Who's still the Olympic rugby champions?
The 15s is the United States of America. They beat Australia in 1928 in Paris.
Oh, see, I'll just stop. Okay, let's talk about sport.
We didn't turn up in 1924, and yet we had the team called the Invincibles. Ironic, isn't it? And we had the Olympic Games, and we had the Sevens in 2000.
We didn't turn up for that.
We had a world championship team, and we basically didn't turn up to that either. Mm. How moronic.
Yeah. I know. Arrogant. Yeah, well, okay. Well, it's a bit of a quieter weekend. Obviously, there was IndyCar going on. Scott Dixon bit of fuss ahead of the race, those walls in Detroit, but a bit of a scuffle in the second race, but he just wasn't really on it, so he finished an eighth and then came back to finish seventh in the second race. But the young guy, Pat O'Ward, I love that name, Mexican O'Ward, he's taken the lead of the series. Scott Dixon down to third. He's not a long, long way back. Still a long way to go, but interesting, this young O'Ward lad talking about, you know, that he's taking the Scott Dixon approach, and it's patience and consistency, and, you know, that's how you beat him. So it's amazing influence Scott's having there. But, no, by the way, Scott McLaughlin, 20th and 19th, so he's down to 12th in the championship. But I want to talk about a New Zealand win we had on the weekend in Portugal, and it was Brendan Hartley, part of the WEC, the endurance team, Toyota. Uh-huh. And they won the opening race of that. This is leading up to the 24 Hours of Le Mans. So there was a Kiwi on top of the podium with his teammates there. So the other thing I thought was interesting too, the MotoGP series, they're going to do two rounds in Austria, the Styrian, and then the Austrian Grand Prix, that's the Red Bull Ring. Both races are going to have a sold-out stadium. If you can go, if you've got been vaccinated, tested, or have previously had COVID and recovered, you're allowed to go to the race.
Unbelievable.
So it's early August. I don't know if that's brave or not, but I think, you know, we probably sometimes forget some of the stuff. I heard a story today. There's a big port in China. There's a big COVID outbreak, and it's going to affect things coming to New Zealand and whatnot. We probably don't hear about some of the stuff that's going on, but I thought, we're hearing enough bad stuff. Here's a good sign. Sport not only is going on, but there's going to be a full stadium.
And and of course, there's a lot of things that are happening in the States where they're getting close to, say, 60 to 70% capacity as well, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're still dancing with the devil a bit, aren't they?
I think so, too, yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting that's just going on at the moment. That is, Sean Marks, clearly head of the Brooklyn Nets over there in the NBA, and he's done a wonderful job in terms of, you know, trading and bringing the big players in, and they're just ticking away, slowly progressing towards the NBA finals. So, you know, well done to Sean. Remarkable the fact that he made it to the NBA at Rangitoto College, but clearly showing that administration-wise, very, very smart, knows how to get the deal done. And, you know, I'll imagine that in time we might hear a little bit more about that. I just hope that by the time the NBA playoffs and finals, that all that sort of stuff's not necessarily overshadowed by the Olympics that will probably be underway. Hey, just quickly, too, on the Euros, that's underway at the moment.
Yes.
European thing, and great to see England get a win this morning. I can't stand English rugby. I just hate it with a passion, yet for some reason I've always had a fondness for the English football team, and it's nice to see them get up and have a win this morning against Croatia, who I think knocked them out of the World Cup, maybe in the semi-final. And then also the Dutch. I love the Dutch as well. You know, they've always been unlucky. Three World Cup finals, have never won one. Won this tournament back in '88 with one of the great teams with Marco van Basten and Ronald Koeman and stuff. And they got the victory this morning as well. So that's always exciting. It's a good competition, the European Cup.
Yep, it certainly is. I actually think it's better. It's more competitive than a football World Cup.
You know, just a little bit of Olympic trivia here, Sean. You know, we're the only Olympic, you know, country signed up to the IOC under the Olympics, you know, and under the IOC and stuff, that actually has our silver fern that actually cuts and dice or bisects and cuts through the Olympic rings.
Really?
Every other country, those Olympic rings are sacred, but New Zealand silver fern actually cuts through the Olympic rings. Small, but just I thought I'd throw that one out there.
Well, I can take that ring thing with some car trivia here. You know, Audi's has the four rings. That's for the four companies that came together, but there's actually five companies, but they weren't allowed to put five rings because the Olympics control it so much, so they had to limit it to four.
Wow, that's fascinating, yeah. So if you ever do look at the New Zealand Olympic emblem and you see our fern cutting through, you'll notice every other sort of fern, every other Olympic emblem might have a kangaroo or whatever the Aussies is, but the rings will stand separate to that. There'll be actually no sort of crossover.
There you go, the power of a brand, eh?
We've come up with a lot of trivia today, gentlemen, you know, like my Olympic trivia of how many medals we've won in the rowing single sculls, your trivia, Mark, with the silver fern and the Olympic rings, and, of course, Audi by Sean. And I've just got another piece of trivia for you guys. It's 30 seconds to go, so we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much. It's 30 seconds to go, and we're going to wrap it up there.
I needed to be enlightened. I need to go away for a whole week and go, wow, that was pretty cool from Amon.
You'll never get enlightenment out of me, Mark. You'll probably get boredom sense.
As we count down to the Olympics, I'm going to bring more to the table next week.
Good stuff, Mark. Okay, guys, thank you very much. Have a great...